So let's join as we hear God's word together. From 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. I urge then, first of all, the requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and for all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. And a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. Just skipping on through the beginning of chapter 3, as I said, where Paul is talking about our character as a church and our structure. Picking up in verse 14, he says, although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. Amen. May God indeed bless and enrich us as we come round his word. May he indeed proclaim his gospel, that we might hear and that we might be saved. Just as we come to God's word, let's just ask God's blessing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we do turn to your word, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that your word is living and is powerful, that your word is truth. Heavenly Father, as we come to reflect on your word, Lord, we pray that we might humble ourselves, that we might hear the gospel, and Lord, that we might not only know the truth of your salvation at work in our lives, but that we might know the truth of what it means to be Christ's people. Lord, build us together, we pray. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, I hope that all of you remembered this week. Remember to fill in your census, did you? Yes? On Tuesday night, we were all to fill in where we were and where we lived, had to fill in details about ourselves, but we also had to fill in about our faith, our belief. And you know, in the run-up to the census, I don't know if you heard about it in the news, but there's a great effort and attempt by the Rationalist Society and the Sydney Atheist Society to try to persuade people to mark down in the census no religion. They actually spent in excess of $50,000 to try and push their barrel, to try and push people to tick no religion, because They didn't want people to actually say they had any belief, any religion. For them, they hate religion. They argue that, well, religion is the opium of the people. Religion is irrelevant. The church is irrelevant. And the church shouldn't have any power or any input into our society. And that if people put down that they have a religion, then they're deluded. They're weak. They're simpletons. Idiots. You know, that's what our world is trying to push. That's what Satan is trying to push. Trying to get people to give up on God. Just as Satan tried to, in the Bible, to get Job to turn away from God, to rebel against God. That's Satan's intent for our world, for people today. That Satan desires to turn people away. And you know, the church is not perfect. The church has its problems. But you know, the message that Satan wants people to swallow is, well, the church is really something that's irrelevant, something that belongs in previous generations. It's maybe a nice place to go and look at the architecture. But you don't want to go and be part of it. You don't want to sit there. That really, the church and Christians and the Bible is out of touch with modern society. Modern society has changed. We've moved past God and belief in Jesus. You know, the Bible teaches us that not only is the church relevant, the church is vital. Now, remember, we've been thinking about it over the past weeks. Thinking about what the church is. What the church means. The church is not a building. We talk about our church here, and often we think about the structure. That's not what the true church is. The true church is not a denomination. As we've seen, and as we will see just shortly, the church is truly the body of Christ. And that's what the Bible teaches us. The church is important because it reveals Christ. Just as Christ reveals God in human flesh. This is essentially what the Apostle Paul is saying in our passage. The church is a continuing incarnation of God. Incarnate. You know that word incarnate, the word in flesh that Paul uses back in verse 15. The word incarnate actually means, or the word that's used in the Greek, en sarki, is in flesh. But the Latin word is where we get our English word, incarnate, from. Incarnate means in flesh. Paul says that Jesus is God incarnate. That God took on flesh in the body of the person of Jesus Christ. And as we read in verses 15 and 16 of chapter 3, that Jesus was born, came into this world. He was made in flesh,
that he lived, that he died, that he was resurrected, that he is ascended into God's presence. Paul is making the point that as Jesus has ascended into heaven, we now, as his body, continue to be his presence here on earth until he returns. That's what the theology, or what the understanding of the church is. We talk about being the body of Christ, but what does that mean? That we are part of Christ's body, that Christ is incarnate in us. Christ lives in us and through us. And that's what Paul says to Timothy in chapter 2 also, that God's desire is that he wants men to be saved, to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose, Paul knew why God had called him to be an apostle, to be one who was sent out. It was to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim who Jesus really is, to proclaim that in Christ we find our identity, in Christ we find our belonging. And for Paul and for Scripture, the idea is that as a church truly is not a social institution, but it's truly Christ's body. So the church is not irrelevant. The church is essential, because as the body of Christ, we continue to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. We proclaim that salvation is only in Jesus. David Watson, who is an English theologian minister, he wrote, "It is the church that is willing to die to worldly standards that will know the power of Christ's resurrection. It may be envied for its depth of loving relationships or its spontaneous joy. It may be hated and persecuted for its revolutionary lifestyle, exposing the hollow values and destructive selfishness of the society it seeks to serve. But it certainly cannot be ignored. When God reigns among his people, they become a city set on a hill that cannot be hid." And you know, that's what we are to be. That in our lives, that in our existence as a church, as part of the fellowship of the Lord Jesus, that we are a living testimony. That in us, people see Christ. They hear the gospel being preached. They hear the word of God being expounded. But they also see the reality of what it means to be Christ's people, in the way that we live, in the things that we do, in our lives together, our relationships, and in the way that we act with people that we come into contact with, people outside in our daily lives. We are to be, as David Watson said, or as Jesus himself said, we are to be like a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. The Lord wants us as his people to catch a vision
of the incomparable importance of the church in its role of revealing the risen and ascended Christ. In order to catch that vision, we must understand the significance or the truth of who Jesus is. And that's why Paul, in chapter 3, so it seems to put in verse 14 to 16, which, or verses 15 and 16, which seem to be a little bit out of place, don't they? He's talking about the church, he's talking about sort of the makeup of the church. He's talking about how, as a church, we are God's household. The church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Then he goes on to these few verses, which just seem to be out of place. But you know, for Paul, it's of vital importance, because what he goes on to talk about is, in order to understand who we are as a church, we need to understand who the Lord Jesus is. And you know, that's what Paul does in using what is probably one of the early church hymns. He takes these couple of verses and he talks about, and in these few verses, there's wrapped up so much theology. He says, beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. You know, in our text, actually, Paul is not just sort of throwing things into his writing. Everything builds upon what's went before. It all links together. And what Paul is talking about is the proclamation of who Jesus is. Back in our reading in chapter 2, verses 3 to 4, we're told that God's intent is that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Verse 15 of chapter 3 picks up on that, where he says, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. It's as we understand who we are, and as we understand who our Saviour, who Christ is, as we understand the basis of the church, that we live proclaiming the truth. You know, there's another commentator, or commentators that said the doctrine of the incarnation is distinct and unique to the Christian faith. Many religions speak of the appearances of deities in the guise of men or animals, but these are appearances only. None take the startling position of Christianity, which affirms that the God who existed from eternity and who created all things entered his creation to actually become a human being. Yet this is just the radical affirmation of the Christian faith. This is the only means that a person may receive the gift of eternal life. It's in knowing Jesus, knowing who Jesus is, and accepting Jesus. I'm sure that we all know the famous verse from John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And this is what Paul is saying. It's only as we understand Jesus' birth, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, that we know the true gospel. It's in Jesus. And now, just skipping back, because in saying that, what is the church? Well, Paul has already said in the previous verse, in verse 15, chapter 3, that the church is three things. Just want to very briefly touch on what these three things are that Paul talks about to describe the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Jesus Christ, Jesus in flesh. First of all, he talks about us being the house, God's household. What does it mean to be God's household, or part of God's household? In the census, we had to fill in our household, who lived with us, who belonged to our family, who lived in that house. We had to identify. You know, that's what it means. That's what it means to be part of God's household. That we identify as part of God's family, God's household. We can only identify by understanding and knowing and accepting who the Lord Jesus is. That his salvation is effective in our lives. That God is the head of our household. That it's in Jesus that we come to him. You know, in the church today, we often think of the church as being like an organization, don't we? We see it even within our own church, where we think that in order for us to be healthier, to grow, that we need to put into place the right elements. We need to put in the right organization. We need to have the right programs. We need to ensure that people have something that engages them. Perhaps we need to have the right music, the right activities. But you know, the truth and what Scripture teaches us is that the church is not an organization. The church is an organism. It's a living thing. That as Christ people, that we are bound together as part of this living body of Christ, a representation of Christ here on earth. That in and through us, that Jesus is seen. And the things that we do and say. You know, I think that often when I look at the church today, it grieves me. We need to change our understanding of who we are. If we're thinking in terms of business models and organization, we need to realize that we are part of the household of God, part of the family of Christ. That in amongst us, that we should have this network of relationships just as any household or family has, where we seek to nurture each other, encourage one another, enable each other to achieve the best that we can for God, for God's glory. Very quickly, secondly, we're to be the church of the living God. It doesn't say that we are to be the church of God, but rather, Paul is specific in talking about the church of the living God. That is, the church is a place where the living God actually dwells and is at work. Just as the phrase, the household of God, focuses on our relationships with one another, so this phrase, the church of the living God, focuses on our relationship with God. The word church, the word church, actually, ecclesia, made up of two Greek words, means out and called. Those who are called out are the called out ones. But properly though, the word church means a gathering of citizens called out from their homes into some public place or an assembly where they meet together. We have been called out of this sinful world to be a holy people set apart for the living God who dwells within us and among us. You know, there's serious danger of, as I said before, of us becoming an institutional religion. And you know, that's what the world often views the church as being. We're just an institution, we're just an organisation that exists for itself. But rather, the biblical idea of who we are is that we are a living organism, a living representation of the Church of Jesus Christ, who proclaims Jesus, who lives to reach out to others. And the other thing to notice is that so often in our time, in our world today, people are encouraged to think that, well, religion is an individual thing. Religion is just for you. And it really doesn't matter if you go to church. It doesn't matter if you're part of a church. I can be a good enough Christian on my own. And the truth is, our faith doesn't depend on coming along to a meeting that we call church on a Sunday. We can be a Christian without doing that. But you know, that's not God's desire or plan for us as Christians. God's desire and plan for us as Christians is to be part of an assembly, to be people who are called out, people who are called out to meet together, to join together, to learn together, to fellowship together, to encourage one another, to be equipped so that we might be more effective in reaching out to others with the gospel. Finally, another description that Paul gives, that as a church, we are to be pillar and foundation of truth. You know, again, in our world today, so often people say, well, truth is subjective. There's no such thing as objective truth. So truth is what makes you happy, what makes you feel good. It's truth is what you believe. And you see that what the Bible says is subjective truth. Do you know what the Bible says is that it is the truth? Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's in Jesus that we find the truth which grounds us, which enables us. You know, our world seeks to try and persuade us that, well, the church is irrelevant. And sometimes we swallow that, don't we? Sometimes we sort of pull back. We're not a city on a hill. We're not a lamp that is lit. Sometimes we're maybe a little bit embarrassed, or we perhaps withdraw, because we don't want to be perhaps a victim of, or a target for society. Yet the truth is that, and as Paul says, that we as a church are the pillar and foundation of truth. If our world is actually to know the truth, if our world is actually to know what will bring them salvation, what will bring them hope and certainty, what will enable them to live with purpose, they need to hear the truth of the gospel. And again, that's what it says in chapter 2, that it's God's desire that all people, all men, might hear the testimony given in its proper time. You know, in America, there's the Mormon Tabernacle, you know, the Church of the Latter-day Saints, which is not accepted as part of the true church. But the Mormons, they built this huge tabernacle in Salt Lake City in America. And they wanted to make it the grandest and the most ornate that they could. And they wanted to have it lined with marble. But they couldn't get marble. They couldn't afford marble. So what they did was they got pillars of pine wood, and they painted them to look like marble. And actually, it maybe does look a little bit like marble. But yet, what lies underneath it is not what it sets itself out to be. It's a falsehood. It's a bit like the Mormon religion. Because they say that they proclaim the Lord Jesus, but yet they fail to actually proclaim the Lord Jesus as Jesus is revealed to us, of who Jesus is. You know, as a church, we need to be certain and true about what we believe, of who Jesus is. We need to be grounded in the truth. And we have to be a pillar that we'll be able to stand, even when the floods come, even when people are trying to undermine us. So why is the church important? Because the church, as we're told, is a household of God. It's a church of the living God. And it is a pillar and foundation of truth. A place where the Lord Jesus is honored and glorified. A place where Jesus is seen for who he is. the Saviour of the world. Amen. May God indeed enrich our understanding of who the Lord Jesus is and of who we are as part of the body of Christ, the church which is a household of God, the church of the living God, a pillar of and foundation of the truth.